But yes, as Colin was saying, this is part two of our study on praise and worship. And the first study we looked at, Colin looked us through what God's Word says about praise. And tonight we're going to look at what God's Word says about the subject of worship. Now, you know, many of us would think that worship is something that we do on a Sunday morning, along with the praise band, or even a conference somewhere, or a men's night, or a ladies' night. Wherever there is music, there's praise and worship. And although that is part of worship, worship itself is actually a lot more than that. You know, when you look at a dictionary definition of what worship is, it says it's the feeling or an expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. It's having that feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. Looking up to somebody that you hold in high esteem, that is what giving worship is. Reverence, of course, is a deep respect for somebody or something. You know, maybe you have reverence for your husband or your wife. You've got a deep respect for them. Or maybe in your heart somewhere you have that reverence for something else, an object of some type. Don't take this to heart, Tom, but it could be a football team. It could be something that you really spend a lot of time looking at and studying. It could be your job. It could be your work, whatever. And adoration, of course, is a deep love and a passion for that same thing, for that same person. Have an adoration, a deep love for them. Now, when we see praise in the Bible, as Colin talked about the last time, we see it's associated a lot of time with musical instruments, with guitars and trumpets and flutes and lyres. We see that all the way through the book of Psalms. And as Colin was explaining to us as well, we see that praise is quite a kind of lively thing. It's something that's got a bit of life behind it. It's something that you get excited about. You know, shouting out was one of the things that we looked at, and raising hands and having a joy within praise. But worship's a wee bit different from that. When you think of worship, there's a kind of sense of soberness attached to it, and a focus associated with it. I say soberness because it kind of brings you to a point that you focus fully with a sober mind upon the subject that you are worshipping, or the person that you are worshipping. It's actually quite difficult to put a description or to define what worship is, because it's not just an act, it's an attitude as well. And we're going to look through God's Word, and that will explain that a wee bit better. Also, to help explain that a wee bit better, we're going to look at a Hebrew word. We're going to look at three Greek words and an English word that will help us to understand exactly what worship really is. The first Hebrew word is Shekinah. I'm just going to say, don't jump the gun. It's Shekinah. Shekinah, sorry. See, I used to it, but no, he's good with his Hebrew. And that there just means to, as it says in the screen there, to depress or to prostrate before something. To bow down. To crouch, to fall down flat. Humbly beseech or make reverence to. That's what that word means. It's a Hebrew word. And they use that all the way through the Old Testament for the word worship. And that's what it means. It means that full bowing down to something. You know, it really kind of means prostrate. And when I think of that, I think of the stories I've heard of the Lewis revivals up in Isle of Lewis back in the day when the Lord was moving there and reviving the people on that island. I've heard stories of guys walking down the street and just lying prostrate on the ground because the Holy Spirit has came upon them and they've realised that what they've been doing and where they've been going has not been right. People falling flat to the ground face first within churches, out in the street, at their work, because the Holy Spirit has came upon them. And we think that's a bit kind of strange, especially on an island like likes of Lewis, where everything's quite stiff upper lipped and very kind of Victorian. Church of Scotland, Free Church of Scotland, you know, everything's prim and proper. And these people, under the effects of the Holy Spirit, were just laying flat out. So that's what that Hebrew word means there. We've also got three Greek words. Proskuneo. This here is to crouch or to pay homage. It really kind of means a wee bit more than that. It means to kiss. In a sense that a dog comes up and licks the hand of its master. That's really the kind of meaning behind it. To pay homage, to adore, to do reverence to. Now, this word is found in the New Testament. And it's used 59 times. And it carries this idea of the subjects falling down to kiss the ground before their king or before their master. Not just to kiss the ground, but even to kiss their feet as well. Proskuneo. Kneeling down and kissing the king's feet. We then see this second word. Sibomai. And it means to bring reverence to or to hold in awe. And this is used 10 times within the New Testament as well. To mean worship as well. To bring reverence to or to hold in awe. And the third one we see here is latrio. And this here, again, used 21 times within the New Testament to mean worship. It talks about to render religious service of homage. Again, we see that in the picture, bowing down before a king or whatever. That same kind of idea behind the whole thing there, to bow down. And of course, the English meaning of the word literally means to ascribe worth to something. That's what it means. It's, worship means to bring or to ascribe worth to something. And the root word of that comes from worthiness. So the root word for worship is worthiness, something that is worthy. You see, the emphasis of worship isn't on the worshipper, the person that's doing the worship, it's the one that's being worshipped. You see, God is worthy to be worshipped. We're not worthy because we're sinners. We do things wrong. But God is completely holy, completely perfect, and he is worthy of to be worshipped. In fact, I don't know if you remember this film, Wayne's World. There's a part in it where the two characters who are into heavy metal, and they're at this concert, and they get these VIP tickets, and they go backstage. And of course, one of their idols is there. Alice Cooper turns up. And they're chatting away. And before they realise it, it kind of dawns on them who they're chatting to. And all of a sudden, both of them bow down. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. It's kind of highlighting the film. But that's what our attitude should be with God as well. When we see God, we should be bowing down and saying, "No, Lord, we're not worthy. You're the only one that's worthy." And that's what worship is really all about. It means somebody is worthy to be worshipped. And that's what that's all about there. You know, God, as we know, is worthy to be worshipped. Why should we worship God? Well, he's the creator of all things, isn't he? He took this world that we know and he created it. He formed it all. He brought it all together. And he's also the redeemer of us all as well. Because of our fallen state, God had a redemption plan put in place to save us from that. You see, God's the creator and he's the redeemer. You know, what did creation and redemption cost God? Well, creating things, I'm not trying to take it away from God what he'd done, but he just talked it into being. It took it 6 days, over 6 days, and he talked creation into being. And he formed things with his hands. It was something that was easy for God to do. And I'm quite sure he'd be able to do it again if he wanted to. So what did it cost him? 6 days and a little bit of effort. But the plan of redemption, well, what did that cost him? It took thousands of years for it to fall into place. And it cost him his son. So the God that we worship, the easiest thing that he could do is create everything that we see before us. And the hardest thing that he's ever done is give his son up for us. But yet he done it because he loves us. And that's the kind of God that we are worshipping here. Not just tonight, but in our lives as we go on as well. You know, true worship begins with a deep respect and a deep reverence for God. You know, we can respect God because He created everything the way He has. And we can give God respect for what He's done to save us from ourselves, to save us from sin, to save us from hell, where we're ultimately going if we don't have Him. It's all about having the right heart and the right attitude when you come to do worship. You know, once you've got that heart attitude right, then the act of worship becomes a straightforward thing. See, the act of worship, it's the act of the result of having that same attitude. You know, once we get ourselves right with God, then our worship is in harmony with God as well. You know, once we get our lives correct with God and we start seeing and giving God His place in our lives, then the worship falls into place. And we'll soon find that the worship's not just about the music, it's about the way we live our lives. It's about the way we conduct ourselves as well. But before we move on to that, the Bible warns us about at least three different kinds of wrong worship. And we're going to briefly run through that. The first one is an ignorant worship. And we see this in Acts 17:23, where it says, "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." Here Paul was speaking to the people at the time, and he noticed that they were very religious type people. And they put a lot of man-made religions and stuff into what they were doing. And they even set up this altar with an inscription to the unknown God. They didn't even understand who the God was that they were worshipping. And here we see that people can be ignorant sometimes as to who God is. These people didn't even know who God was. Ignorant worship is being like being blindfolded when you're playing a game of darts. Sometimes you will hit the bullseye, but a lot of the time you won't. And you'll make an awful mess of the dartboard and even the wall behind it. You can create a lot of damage trying to hit that bullseye when you're blindfolded. And when you don't understand the God that you're worshipping, that's what you're doing. You can create a lot of damage doing the same thing as well. You know, it's not pleasing to God if you worship Him by accident. And I think that's what these folks were doing here in the book of Acts that Paul saw. They were kind of understood that this God they didn't really know they had to worship. But God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to know fully why we should be worshipping Him. He wants us to know fully why we should be bowing down and worshipping Him. To worship God, we need to know why. And we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Himself says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was and is to come, the Almighty." So here Jesus is telling us exactly who He is. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's been there at the start. He'll be there at the end. Who was and is to come, the Almighty. Making it very clear to us exactly who God is. We see in a second type in Matthew 15, verse 7-9, it talks about a vain worship. And it says there in verse 7-9 of Matthew 15, it says, "Hypocrites, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near me with their mouths and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" In that passage we see the Pharisees had made their worship become a vain thing. Because they brought all these man-made traditions and commandments into it, this attitude changes what God has commanded, and it now becomes a man-made worship. with man-made rules and man-made ideas. And we see that the Pharisees were very good at this, making up these man-made traditions. And we see that in our own churches today as well. If you're going to come and worship, you need to do it a certain way. You need to do it this way, you need to do it that way. And that's not what God wants from us. Find out exactly, just exactly what God wants from us. We also see a self-centered type of worship. Colossians chapter 2 verse 23 says, "These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." This worship is a self-centered worship. It's false. It's fake. It's a show to entertain an audience. And you know, that type of worship with music and with that kind of idea, it's a very kind of modern way of doing worship. And we see it a lot, especially on these religious God TV channels. And even within various meetings that we've been to before ourselves as well, it's a very fake kind of worship. It's there to entertain the people. The people turn up looking for a wee kick, looking for a wee buzz, looking for a wee high, and then they go away again. And they return again to the next service to get the same feeling again. And that's not what worship's all about. Worship isn't about getting a kick or getting a high at the time. You know, worship is to be centred in praising God, not praising ourselves or entertaining ourselves. We need to understand that the blessings that we receive from worship are a byproduct of the worship and not the focus. But too often we go to worship God to get something out of it, to get a blessing from it. And that's not what worship is about. Yes, we can be blessed because of our worship. But remember, the whole idea of worship is to bow down before somebody that's worthy. It's not about the worshipper, it's about the person that's being worshipped. In worship, we come to do and to give. We don't come to receive. We come to bring God his place. We come to bring God his, our worship to him. We don't come to receive or to get anything from it. You know, this is when you're doing this type of worship for your own gain or your own self-praise, I suppose, this is no worshipping God. This is just putting a show on. This is bowing down to that altar of self-worth. Now, we worship God because he's worthy. This lies within our hearts and within our attitude. And that's what worship's all about. Worship is about getting the heart right and getting the attitude right and putting God first in that. That's why we see what true worship is all about. John 4, verse 23 to 24, it says, "But the hour is coming," this is Jesus' words, "and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship the spirit and truth." You know, to worship in spirit means engaging your whole heart, your being, your essence, that spirit within you, engaging that into that worship. Not just physically lying prostrate before him or bowing before him, but spiritually doing that as well. That's what true worship is really all about. True worship takes place on the inside. It's in your heart, it's in your spirit. So you don't need music to do that. You don't need to be within a church building to do that. You don't need to be within a collection of believers to do that either. You can do it in your own heart, at home, at your work, driving in the car. It's about having that right attitude and that right heart before God. That true worship takes place on the inside. But that worship also must be offered with a pure and a humble heart. Coming before God humbly. As I said before, it's not about getting something from it. It's just about giving God his place. Putting God first in our lives. Letting us understand that he is the only one that's worthy to be worshipped and to be praised. You know, Psalm 24, verse 3-4 says, "Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." That's where we get that song, "Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts." You know, the Lord's saying, who can ascend to that high place? Who can do that? The person that's got a clean heart and a pure mind, and a pure heart and clean hands. Isaiah 66 and verse 2 also says, "For all those things my hand is made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him I will, for him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." Here we're seeing that God is the creator of all things. God made everything that we see, put everything into existence. He can do all of these things. He's just looking for those people that are willing to humble themselves before him. That's what God looks for in worship. He doesn't look for some fancy guitar work or for nice lovely voices. It's an inward thing. Worship's all about the inside. Getting your heart right with God and bowing that. And that can be happening. When you get yourself in that state, that can last as long as you want it to last. You know, worship in truth, like it says in the passage there, it means to be worshipped and to be properly informed. You know, we do understand to be the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, of course, is the Word of God. We know by our own experience and by what the Word that God has shown us, and from what we've learned about the Word of God, that is 100% accurate and it is 100% true. So when we're worshipping God, we should get our inspiration through God's Word. We get the truth from the Scriptures. We understand about God's character and God being worthy of praise, and we find his worthiness within that book. So when we talk about worshipping God in spirit and truth, we worship him in our spirit through our understanding of him through his word. The more we get to know God, the more we appreciate him and what he's done for us. The more we appreciate him, the deeper our worship becomes. And the deeper our worship becomes, the more God gets glorified. And that's what it's all about. Once we start to understand and read about God and his character and what he's done for us, we start to appreciate him more. It's like people can bow down to kings, but it can be a false thing. They maybe don't like the guy, the king, the queen, whoever it is, but they're doing it because they need to. God doesn't want us to do it because we have to. He wants us to bow down to him, and he tells us why we should be bowing down to him. Because he's the creator of all things. He's worthy to be praised. He's gave us redemption. His plan for us is an awesome plan. If we just bow down and worship him for that. You know, where should we worship God? Well, of course the answer we know is absolutely anywhere. Anywhere at all. We don't need to do it on a Sunday morning. We can be in the house, doing the housework, doing the ironing even. Praising God. It's an inward attitude. And we see in John, I'm going to turn to that just now, that full passage there that we find in John 4, 20-21. And here it's Jesus talking, and it says there, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem there is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, he's speaking to the woman at the well here, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." So we don't need to go to a specific place to worship God. The only place we need to be is here. We need God here within us. As long as the heart's right, and as long as we're giving God the heart, then it's only the right place to worship. But it goes on there and says in verse 22, "You worship what you not to know, what you do not know." Sorry, we know what we worship for. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And that's what it's all about. Worshipping God in spirit and worshipping him in truth. You know, just an ending. There's one verse, I think it's from the scriptures, that's very important today, just as it was back in Joshua's time. That's Joshua 24 and verse 14. And it says there, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Your worship is about serving and giving to God. You can do this anywhere. And here Joshua is saying to the rest of the Israelites, listen, you know, put aside what your forefathers did back in Egypt and idols and stuff they worshipped. We're coming now to worship God. And we can do that even through our gifts and through our talents, through our jobs, through our services. We can do all these things as long as the heart's right and the spirit's right and we're walking with God with it. The amount of people I know that will do something with their job and they do it to glorify God. And that to me is worship. The way people not just do stuff for their job, but they can do an act of some kind and they do it not to glorify themselves but to glorify God. That to me is worship. Because they've got the right heart and the right attitude for that. And that's what worship's all about. Yes, it's good to sing what we think of being as worship songs, with a slow and calm and mellow. And I like that. I like all that kind of stuff. But worship is about having the right heart and about having the right attitude. It's about giving all to God. Becoming prostrate before him, not just physically, but in a spiritual sense too. And that takes me to that chorus that we sing often at the church. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And a lot of time, we've kind of drifted away from that fact. It's not the fancy music and all that that goes with it. Worship's all about focusing on Christ, focusing on God. I'm going back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, Jesus. It's not what can I get out of it, but it's what can I give. What can I give to the Lord? That's what worship is. Bowing before him. You know, we think of the story of Jesus' birth at Bethlehem and the Magi came and they came to worship and they brought gifts. They didn't come to get anything from him. They brought gifts to him. That was worship. That's what they came to worship him and they brought him gifts. And that's what we should be doing with God. Getting our talents and the gifts that he has given us and just giving them straight back to him. Saying, "God, this is my worship. This is what I'm going to do in my life." But just in ending, Joshua goes on in verse 15 there and it says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's what we should be saying to ourselves tonight. You know, other people will worship in other ways and worship idols and do other things with that, but we worship the one true living God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you indeed that we can come and meet here with you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that we have seen, Father, that Real worship, Lord God, is something that we should be giving to you and not gaining anything out of it, Father God. But it's a condition of our heart. It's a condition of our spirit, Lord. And I pray, Father God, just as those verses say, that you look out for those people that worship with spirit and worship with truth, Lord. And I pray just now, Lord God, that you help us to be those people. That you empower us to worship you with our hearts and with our spirits, Lord. And worship with the truth and the knowledge and understanding of your scriptures, Lord. So, Father, as we go into a time of praise and a time of worship, Lord, we need to remember the things we've learned in the past couple of sessions, Lord, about praising you and about worshipping you, Lord God, that we can do that correctly and fully and properly, Lord, and it be a pleasing offering to you, Father. So bless us now as we do this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.